CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Taiwan. The headlines are stark. Taipei warns that China will be able to invade Taiwan by 2025. I welcome Weifeng Zhang of the Mercatus Center to help me unpack the threats from the problems from the possibilities with regard to the people of Taiwan, the peace of East Asia, and the relationship between the security ring around China, the United States, and Taiwan. Weifeng, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. Taiwan's defense minister warns that China will be fully capable of invading the island by 2025. He says the current situation is really the most dangerous I have seen in my more than 40 years in the military. I've visited Taiwan in the course of my broadcasting. It is a democracy. It is a republic. It argues with itself. It's recognizably a modern city and a modern state. And yet China continues. I was there in 2014 for the election. 16 years later, the threats are louder and louder and louder. Most recently, we've had more provocations than I can easily recount. To your understanding, what drives the leadership in Taiwan, in Beijing, under Hu Jintao and now under Xi Jinping, to make these threatening remarks about a state that it works with every day? The investment capital coming out of Taipei is critical to China's success. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you too, John, and thanks for having me. I think it's important to look at how China views places like Taiwan and Hong Kong and how important for China to maintain the legitimacy. And this is why precisely the freedom that you mentioned, John, about what the freedoms Taiwan has economically and politically is a very troubling fact for the Chinese Communist Party. If you think about Hong Kong doesn't even have complete political freedom, unlike Taiwan. But Hong Kong at least has some economic freedom before the crackdown happened. And that was already such a big problem for China, and the Chinese regime felt the need to crack down on the protesters and the pro-democracy movement overall there. And so the need for the aggression, I think, is quite clear on Beijing's side. Another development that's very interesting is that it was just reported today, came out that says during the phone call between President Biden and the Chinese President Xi last month, President Biden said the U.S. would abide by the agreement with China regarding Taiwan, which basically comes down to the strategic ambiguity, right? Recognizing one China and then maintaining the strategic ambiguity about whether the U.S. would come to Taiwan's defense. And that, given that the phone call happened a month earlier, I can only conclude that the reason we are seeing all these planes from China flying around in Taiwan Strait is because of China possibly seeing the weakness on the U.S. side.
Yes, you mentioned the planes. We're looking at more than 150 Chinese warplanes operating in international airspace, but what is generally understood to be the air defense identification zone of Taiwan, meant to be provoking, was provoking successfully. Now, the U.S. has answered in the past with freedom of operation sail pie in and around Taiwan. China has answered with the same kind of provocations using their war fleets. I want to talk about what Taiwan is doing about this. The question is it ready to defend itself? It spent a great deal of money on arms. Are the people of Taiwan exercised to dig in, to come to the aid of their country if it's invaded or if it continues to be provoked? Or do the people of Taiwan regard it as the work of the United States or Japan or other allies and not their work? How do they think about it at Weifeng?
I think that's highly unclear, which is also why the United States wanted to maintain the strategic ambiguity, because the United States certainly wants Taiwan to be able to and willing to defend itself. And it's unclear, I think, to the rest of the world whether Taiwan will be able to do that, because historically we haven't actually seen any concrete examples of Taiwan in a military way defend itself from Chinese aggression. So the exercise, the lack of it, to be more precise, it's adding to this ambiguity or uncertainty. We don't really know, to be honest, as far as I know. And there are critics who said that Taiwan, in terms of military powers, is not quite ready. Even if it has the will, in terms of capabilities, it may not be ready. perhaps that's also why the Chinese government is seeing some openings there as well in terms of the aggressions.
With your colleague, Christian McDaniel, you have published remarks about what can strengthen Taiwan's position short of more arms and more ships. This has to do with trade. What do you imagine would help Taiwan with regard to the United States?
I place a lot of emphasis on the power of commitment. In my view, I think that's the best tool we have to achieve peace in the Taiwan Strait. And that can be done in different ways. The U.S. could actually commit to coming to Taiwan's defense should China invaded the island. Another way, like I wrote about with Christine in the piece, was to actually forge a trade agreement with Taiwan. That's another way to show America's commitment to its allies overseas, including especially in the area, because forging a trade agreement with Taiwan, or maybe having the United States and Taiwan joining the CPTPP together, it would be a strong signal that we can send to Beijing without, you know, escalating with all these airplanes flying around. That actually could go out of get out of hand very easily.
Yes, the airplanes are flying around. It seems like rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. We've seen this before, as if Beijing doesn't have another idea. And so it's easy to pick up the phone or to give an order to send warplanes. There is always the possibility of normalizing provocations, as if you could look up in the sky and say, oh, well, it's the Chinese again trying to provoke us. Is that happening in Taiwan, to your understanding? Or is the public getting used to China being a bully?
That's certainly one element to it. And one can easily connect the similarity there with, for example, the North Korean provocations too, right? Because there's so many people who still live in Seoul, so close to North Korea. And then we see missiles flying around all the time too. So people just get used to it. And that kind of mentality, I think, is also dangerous, because then we lose the vigilance in terms of, you know, monitoring what could happen. And that's why I think, you know, paying attention to developments like this is very important. And of course, there are different estimates of how likely it is. And people take comfort in thinking when the American military leaders coming out and say China will be ready in 8 years, it would sound like to ordinary folks, yeah, at least we have 8 more years to figure things out. And now now it becomes 5 years. So who knows?
Taiwan is the Garden of Eden of semiconductor chip making. It is the center of the universe. Without it, we don't drive cars. I don't talk to you on these machines. Nothing's going to happen. Is that a fundamental fact that China is dealing with, that you're threatening the thing that made it possible for you to be prosperous?
So semiconductor is high on China's mind for sure. In fact, China has been trying to gain some sort of independence in terms of semiconductor manufacturing. But the problem is that running a factory like the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company is very, very difficult. The first step is you need to have the machine that can make those chips. And under the sanctions by the U.S., China has not been able to purchase a machine like this, which makes actually the strategic role of Taiwan, at least in terms of semiconductor manufacturing, so critical. And which is why, you know, building the commitment with the U.S. commitment toward Taiwan is so important here, because if a war breaks out, everybody is going to lose in the scenario, and that would be devastating. And so preventing that from happening is important. And trade negotiations or trade agreements would be one effective way to actually accomplish that.
Weifeng Zhang of the Mercatus Center, writing with his colleague Christian McDaniel most recently about a trade knot, tying the knot with Taiwan on trade. Jaw-jaw, much better than war-war. That's an old rule from the 20th century. It works in the 21st. This is CBSI in the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.